Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Cheese and pickle.
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, blast off!
Okay, we'll just keep working on it. It's fine.
That's good, isn't it?
I think we'll come up with just that. It's good, but maybe we could do something different.
All right, okay, fine.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to Come Strictly Dancing. I'm still Julia Rayside. He is still Joel Morris.
Hello.
And we have got quite the week to try and understand, analyse, get through. Like, that was one of the best episodes of Strictly, I think, ever.
Yes, really
in terms
good.
Of the emotional journey.
Journey!
Thank you. The sudden kind of brilliance that seemed to come from nowhere from some of those couples. Hamza, obviously, we have to talk about in some considerable detail. It was a really good night, wasn't it?
And it felt, maybe this is the bite, it felt the right length.
Yeah.
Because you've lost a couple of people. You weren't tired of being impressed?
Maybe yeah, I suppose it. So. And I could still maybe lose two couples.
Yeah, obviously, we know the ideal way. Yes, and you'd like to just meet them at the door and just say, not you, on the way. But yeah, I think we're hitting to the point where it's a really good evening's entertainment. It was lovely.
Yes, it proper is, isn't it? Okay, well, so we started. By the way, next week, I'm really excited because it's the BBC Centennial, so they're doing the theme tunes, presumably like the
crazy.
Antiques Roadshow Casualty. I mean, like, the mind boggles as
I'm
to what they're going to do.
Ellie is the test card girl and Nikita as the clown.
Nikita is the clown.
I don't know. Something like that. Okay, I don't know.
That's going to give me nightmares for years, possibly. Yeah. I like obviously that Anton has become some kind of dictator of a tiny Strictly kingdom now. They're all chanting his name and while he was waving his, he won the NTA for Best Talent Show judge. And it was just like next week it's going to be like the full peaked hat and the kind of the chest full of medals, kind of just like handing out favors to his subjects. He does seem to be going all the way to, I mean, it's a beneficent dictator, but nevertheless,
yeah,
it's gone to his head.
Yes, he's clearly in control now.
He's like, I wasn't a judge before at all, and now I'm the best judge, everyone loves me. I just keep a lid on that because it could get out of control.
Oh, do you want to know Motsy's costume this week?
Oh, yes, please.
Motsy, leopard print version of Wordy the Word Robot from Look and Read.
Yes, yes. No, actually.
Which is still science fiction.
The little Bjorky hair buns.
Yeah.
Then the long trailing pieces at the front.
Nice.
It was interesting.
I like her looks.
I think she could have hurt someone with the long trailing pieces at the front there because I think they were quite solidly wrapped. Okay, shall we start with the first dance?
Good place to start.
Okay, so the show openers this week were Ellie and Nikita, who did a salsa to I Love Your Smile, which was obviously, there was a strange theme of it being in a dentist's office,
yeah,
obviously because of smile.
Dentist
I did
theme.
Understand the clever yeah, yeah. wordplay. But they put her in a kind of white coat, then she whipped it off. And Nikita had those plastic things, you know, they used
mouth
to retract your gum. So he looked like something from a horror film.
It was really scary.
Now if I'm thinking of clown makeup on top of that, I will never shut my eyes again.
Well, obviously we were all scared of Nikita because he was all killed. But can I just point out here, a little nerd point as well.
Yeah.
In training, he was wearing a Duck Amuck jumper, Daffy Duck, Chuck Jones,
really?
Legendary fourth wall breaking cartoon. Mm. About as cool a jumper as you could wear. Not like a Bugs Bunny jumper.
Do you think he knows what it is or someone just said, wear this?
I'm saying it's his taste. I think he's into really weird avant-garde animation.
Okay, I like your take. Yeah,
yeah, he's from the East.
He has many hidden layers. Maybe he was into that and then he's had the kind of the Bourne thing where they've wiped his memory.
Yeah, the first
so he's,
clue.
He's got the jumper, but he doesn't know why.
Yeah. I think that's very credible, but he can still kill at a moment's notice.
Oh, it's muscle memory. Yeah. They've all done it so many times.
Why am I so fast?
Okay, so trained assassin Nikita is this patient in a dentist surgery. And they launch into this really lovely, I thought it was a really lovely Latin dance. Again, I'm kind of a bit, I suppose visually I struggle with, the salsa is easier to watch than a samba. A samba I kind of find quite like, I can't quite relax. They keep talking about the timing changes within the samba, and maybe that's what makes me feel uncomfortable. Because for me, a dance is like, you know, a waltz or a, it's in a time that stays the same time all the way through.
You don't want this prog rock shit. That's Radiohead stuff.
I bloody don't. She also had at the end, she's got her dental clipboard, which had a picture of Nikita on, which was basically his mugshot. Again, a clue to his past identity.
Yeah.
There was like a side photo and then a face on photo. It was like, so they're trying to subtly give him hints about his past as an assassin.
Yeah, yeah, it's all coming back.
But it hasn't yet, but it will do. That's his journey. Watch out for it.
But it was weird. It was a weird staging. But again, the lovely thing about this pairing is you don't clench.
No. And the lifts are great.
It was lovely. There were loads of flips and it felt really joyous. And I agree with Anton. The thing that's coming across is she's such a good performer.
Oh, she is.
Whatever the story is and whatever that story was, she's selling it. And it's really delightful to watch. And I just enjoyed
it. Sexy, fun, cheeky dentist.
I don't know what it is. It's fine. But Marathon Man, I don't know what the theme was. It was weird.
Okay, then that is going down a very dark alley indeed. So she got 2 sevens and 2 eights, Motsi and Anton, of the higher schools there. I just think she's continuing on a fairly steady and quite strong course. But obviously we know mid-table becomes the danger zone.
Exactly.
In the not too distant future. But at the moment, she's looking pretty good for a long run, I'd say.
Yeah, I think you'd be quite monstrous to say you didn't want to watch more of her doing that because, let's just say she looks like she's having fun.
Having the time of her life. Yeah, definitely.
Just lovely to
more
watch.
More fun than bloody swimming. Okay, then we had a very brief TNC, slightly upped its game this week with the terms and conditions. Dara O'Brien on stage, and clearly in the middle of a big gig somewhere, the Apollo or somewhere, and then kind of doing the thing with a bit of levity, some dance moves, and then just went back to his audience and told a punchline like you. And it was deftly done. At least he made something of
it. Yes.
I just think, come on, do something. Anyway, the next couple up were Will and Nancy with their rumba, the first male rumba of the series, to a song called The Joker and the Queen, which I'd never heard before. I'm assuming it's by Radiohead because I don't like them. Will looked the illest I've ever seen anyone look on TV who's not in Casualty or Holby City.
He looked really ill. It looked like something was going to happen. They were setting something like when someone sneezes or coughs into a hanky and there's blood.
It was exactly that, like he was in a Dickens story. So it was revealed, you know, in the training montage, he came down with a virus during the week.
A mystery virus they wouldn't name.
I know, they didn't say
dance the... Dance fever.
He's clearly got dance fever. And it was really emotional anyway as a dance. But even more so because he genuinely looked like he was on his last legs. I didn't know if he'd get it to the end.
Because I wrote down this was the first mental health rumba they'd done. and then I was also worried about his physical health as well. It was genuine.
Take your partners for the mental health rumba.
It was all about how men don't talk and things like that. And again, I am finding him fascinating as an icon of a certain sort of masculinity. Mm-hmm. We were questioning last week what it said that he had Lee Francis involved. Is he blokey? Is he not blokey? Where does he sit on that spectrum?
Yeah.
But this was a nice thing about saying, well, men don't talk. It clearly, as well as him being ill, it looked like he was being quite affected by the message there.
Yes.
There was a lot of stuff this week that was about fragility.
Oh, no,
and
this
about
week,
men.
Absolutely.
And people who don't talk and people who've been given support by people. And yeah, I think this was the first one, and I wasn't expecting it. This is the first one where I started to get a little bit of a lip wobble.
Oh, God, the whole bloody and night was lip wobble.
I was off. It was lovely.
Did it send you off? Well, see,
I thought it was beautiful.
I couldn't get the image of Lee Francis out of my head. So it does. It always makes me think. I had the worst thought this week. And now if I've thought it and now I can't unthink it, you're going to have to think it too.
Okay.
We're in a bar. Will and perhaps Lee Francis are sat in the corner at a table. Someone knocks over a pint glass and it smashes on the floor. What do they do? Hey!
Oh, they do, don't they?
They fucking do. And now, I don't care how much he goes on about his mental health or pushes through a mystery virus to perform with his Nancy with, you know, I now have this image of him being that twat in the corner of a bar.
Yeah, honestly, that whole thing is a little bit, it's a little bit all bar one, isn't it?
Well, maybe a tiny bit. But the thing is, Because Tony was also talking about mental health, addiction.
Yeah.
Very emotionally talking about how some people, you know, saved his life, yes, when he was, you know, doing very bad things as a younger footballer. I felt that was coming from a really honest place. And I feel like this with Will was just like everyone was going. In fact, Matt Goss must really regret not digging up his dead grandfather this week.
Yes.
Wrong week, Matt. Yeah. Wrong week, as it turned out, because everyone was doing the emotional, my single mum's an incredible person. That was the week to do it, this week.
Yes. I mean, this is the week that Matt would have just reached in and gone, someone I've heard of died at the Battle of Hastings, ready for that.
Why?
Are they gone forever? Yeah, it was very much a week for that. And yes, yeah. I suppose to a certain extent, what Will was doing here was probably a little bit tacked on, but it was nice. Those values need to be said.
No, I mean, it's good. It's probably because they're listening to this podcast and we were talking about toxic masculinity, yes, and don't bring football and toxic masculinity into Strictly. It's not welcome.
Fragility, please. Fragility.
Exactly. Despite everything I've just said about him being the guy who'd cheer if you broke your pint glass in a pub, I think the judges were incredibly hard on him when he clearly looked like he was about to die.
Yes, it was an impressive display.
He couldn't even speak at the end. He coughed a bit. You could just hear he is clearly like riddled with something at the moment. Anton said his acting was wonderful, but there were lots of technical problems. It was a bit statuesque. Craig said the leg action wasn't good. Motsy brought him up on his posture and his spine. They were all kind of pulling him apart technically. And it's like, mate, like I don't even know how he's standing up. So all that aside, I had great sympathy for him this
week.
Let's
be fair. If that's him when he's ill and subpar, he's a really good dancer.
I think
the thing to say about this is if that was him on only a few cylinders, he's brilliant.
I would like to see him ballroom next week and I want to see what the hold's like. I don't think we've quite seen that yet. But anyway, so Craig gave him a 4, Motsy and Anton way up to 7, and then Shirley back down to a 5. So they were kind of undecided about how much sympathy to show him, I think.
Bit harsh, I think.
Obviously,
thought.
With Craig, the answer's always no. None.
You are weak. Rejected.
Anyway, so that's them. So now we move on to play the somber music. Everyone put your black armbands on. Matt and Nadia, who did their jive to, I think it was I'm All Shook Up by Paul McCartney. Although I don't understand how you cover something that he's already been anyway.
No, it's All Shook Up version. By Elvis Presley.
No, but it said, you know, when they announced the dancers, it's like All Shook Up and it said by Paul McCartney.
What?
Which I'm assuming means there was a particular thing he did with the version that they then covered.
No, just totally.
Please don't
this.
Ask me why. No, I don't know why. I wasn't confident when the training montage showed Nadia saying, he's going too fast. It's like, he's so, because you know, you could see, obviously, and the dance-off especially, you could see he was like, I'm not going down with that fight. I'm not going down with that fight. I don't accept this is my time to leave. He was, you know, the dog.
Fight hard, dance easy, whatever it was, his
God,
advice.
Yeah, I know. But just he was so, so, I mean, I've never seen anyone try harder than him. I'll give him that.
Yeah,
he tried his very hardest, but his body just wasn't cooperating. And I was trying to figure the other day, how old is he? Like, I'm in my late 40s. And he was a pop star when I was a teenager. He must be in his mid to late 50s, do we think, maybe?
About 200 or 300 years old.
He's 200 to 300 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously with the face, impossible to tell.
Yeah.
Like, who could say? But he must have, you know, for all the, you know, he's slender and he's an older man. And that jive, just his body wasn't cooperating. It couldn't do it.
He's a very good demonstration. Again, it's quite good to have these people in the lineup to prove that this is hard.
Oh,
and I think
for sure.
Sometimes when there are younger contestants or people who are more obviously have dancers' physiques, you go, oh, this is a thing you could just go and do.
Yeah.
And Matt Goss is clearly an entertainer.
Oh, yeah.
Showbiz. Really hardworking. Takes it very seriously.
Absolutely a trooper,
And he's absolutely the edge of what he's capable of.
Yeah.
And what he's capable of is things that get him scores of 2 and 3.
I know.
And it's shocking because he must be utterly baffled. And if we're talking about fragility and masculinity and things, this is really hurting his self-image.
Yeah.
And it is one of the things that makes you clench. I thought this was the most fun I've had watching him.
It was.
I really enjoyed
it. And it's the most, because, you know, you could clearly see, we'll talk about this with Helen as well later. How do you say to someone, you know, that thing that is holding you back? Put it down, step aside, like get rid of it. But it's like, well, how? Like, which bit, where is it on me? Can you see it on me? Can you get it off me? Like, it's like they've got something on their face and they can't, he can't step outside of that sort of whatever it is, the kind of mask of.
He's self-conscious about being self-conscious.
Yes, exactly.
Which is really, when someone says, well, don't worry about yourself, he goes, no, but that's what I'm worried about.
Exactly.
It's because I'm worried about it. He's watching himself like a hawk. And I thought this was, once again,
he
he's playing...
He wanted to so much, but he can't let go.
They're doing everything they can for him. They're giving him nice choreography. They're giving him big songs that are sort of masculine and cool. That he can go. This was a very Vegas-y kind of song that was completely in his comfort zone. He gets to be a cool rock and roller. No one's making him dress up as a crab, and yet he still couldn't do it.
On that point, our child said last night as we were watching it, have you noticed... He's only had one costume so far.
Yeah.
And I thought, and this might not be the case, it might just be the luck of the draw, but every other male celebrity so far has done the here are my nipples mesh shirt. They've done the, you know, they've done all the different connotations of Latin and ballroom. There's less for men.
Yeah.
But his costume every week is like a muscle shirt rolled up over his biceps and some fitted trousers. Like, he's worn the same and that kind of slightly quiffy do. It's almost like he's saying, this is what I'm willing to wear and no more every week. Or it's a coincidence because he's so trying to control his image.
I think that's it, the psychology
that's
of this.
The problem.
And if you go back, again, that was his career. That's one of the things that Bros were amazing at. They were the people who had, who gave that brilliant advice about saying you've got to copyright your, Matt Goss told Gary Barlow, copyright your logo, your image is everything.
Yes.
They were an incredibly slick package.
They were ahead on that, yeah.
And really good at it. That's why they were famous.
Yep.
And now he's been styled by the people and things, and he's going, oh, not that. I know
I
what my brand
like there
is.
There might have been some influence behind the scenes there.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is really interesting. And he said at the end of his routine, I'm coming out of my shell, like he was trying to say, look, please be patient with me. I'm really trying. And I believe him this week. I never didn't believe him. But I think there were lots of comments about his top half and his bottom half and just not being doing the same dance. So, you know, his effort is all waist up, but his legs and the jive just weren't friends. Yeah. It wasn't happening. They all talked about how he was 100% committed. The judges, I think, because they could see the desperation in his eyes, were all being quite patronising this week and saying lovely things to him, where clearly it was just like, I don't think you've got this in you. You know, the rest of them are leaving you behind. It's really hard and this just might not be your thing. And Motsy at one point just said, you were giving something? It's like, yeah, that's not what you want to hear. All of the kind of fellow celebs and dancers are all up and giving him a standing ovation. Yeah. You can tell he's really liked there. He's really popular. And they feel bad for him that it was obviously going to be his turn to go this week. Because unless something dreadful happened in one of the other dances, if he was in the dance-off, he was gone. And unfortunately, we now know he did.
He's stuck in that position of being the kid picked last for games.
And
I
feel like we're, as a nation, bullying him slightly. Maybe I've joined in a bit and I don't
I wrote that down
that.
And I thought that no matter how enthusiastic and upbeat they are when they give the comments, the scores themselves every week feel like bullying.
I know. So Craig 3, Motsy 6, Shirley 5 and Anton 6. I think 6s were about right. I'd probably have given him a 6, although clearly I'm not a trained dance judge.
Anton.
Almost found myself doing a salute when I was doing that. I did think he was the worst dancer this week, but in a very, very, very strong field.
Yeah.
He was the right person to go. I'd have been really upset to lose somebody else and not Matt.
Yes.
But of course, now he's gone and he's the underdog properly. Mm. I feel really, really bad.
Poor Matt.
Sorry, Matt. Okay, now we move on to, oh God, get the tissues. Jade and Karen, who did an American Smooth, a beautiful American Smooth, to Wind Beneath My Wings. She kind of looked like Elsa from Frozen.
Yes.
Just utterly, utterly beautiful. I like how in some of the dances they're styling them the same. I hope we get to see it mixed up a bit. So sometimes they're kind of mirroring, sometimes completely.
There's a story or something.
Yeah, exactly. This is her first time lifting Karen, and she went on to explain, this is why I wanted an all-girl partnership. I didn't want the guys who aren't built like rugby players to look at me and go, I've got to lift that. She was brilliant about that. And then, of course, talked about her late sister and how she'd lost her to cancer 11 years ago. As you know, Joel, there's some crossover here with me and Strictly and Dead Siblings. Yes. I'll explain in a minute. And I too was on Strictly and no, I wasn't. you blinked and you missed me. I wasn't. But she talked about her sister and when she said her sister had said to her when she was dying, people aren't going to forget me, are they? I just absolutely lost the plot. So when my brother died in 2016, this isn't Griefcast. You can listen to the episode if you'd like to, though. It's it's available on all good podcast apps. But my brother died in 2016 and he had cancer. He knew he was dying. So in the last year, we were just doing anything and everything. And I did Claudia Winkleman's radio 2 show and she said, she was just, you know, distraught on my behalf and said, is there anything I can do? Would they like to come to Strictly? And I was like, great, I can use my ill brother to finally get to see Strictly. So me and my brother Colin and his wife went, and Claudia made a total fuss of him all night, got the whole audience to applaud him, made him stand up.
He was like,
you know,
Anton for the night.
Genuinely, they were shouting, Colin, Colin. It was genuinely one of the most fun things and such a mad experience. And so there's an extra layer of, oh God.
You were triggered.
I was like a broken hose. So Jade did this beautiful routine. She lifted Karen. They were quite sort of small lifts. It was kind of all quite low key, but it was a very emotional, obviously Wind Beneath My Wings, very emotional song. Anyway, it's a song she used to dance to with her sister. And the judges were just in pieces. Moxie said she'd be so proud of you. Shirley said, you're my hero, and she could barely get the words out. And then Craig said, your arms were limp coming up to a lift and your thumb was sticking out, which I actually loved him for, because I think, yes, I just cried too much by then. She's like, oh, sorry, I stuck my thumb out.
But Jade liked that, and I think it was,
she did, she did.
I thought,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
was really well judged by Craig.
It was
shows
perfect.
You why he's good at this.
The king of bathos.
Yeah, and it was funny, but yeah, it was also, it wasn't cruel, and it sort of said, look, hang on, you can come up here and you can do all the sob stories, yeah, you want, but we still want you to dance.
No, exactly.
And I think one of the reasons that worked is
it wasn't really just a sob story.
That also said, it's not just a sob story. She did want to dance it well. She was embarrassed that was sticking out.
Yeah.
And actually, the thing I wrote down, apart from just it was a beautiful dance, was I thought her arm work generally was really good.
Yeah,
the way
I
she
did.
Extends her arms is beautiful. She's got a lovely
sense
of movement.
Her upper
frame.
Body expression is fantastic. I think it's because these were her first lifts.
Yes.
There's a couple of extra moments of cogs clunk clicking into place when she's thinking about where she's got to be to take the weight of her partner. So it's just making that more fluid, but she'll get it. Like, it's just rehearsal.
But it really helped. The lifts element as well, I think, really helped, because last week we were saying I wasn't sure what some of these dances this year, especially the same-sex ones, I'm not sure what the story is, because this year doesn't appear to be enormously sexy. It's all about other relationships that people can have dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the relationship of her and Karen is becoming best friends.
Exactly. And if you're talking about dancing with your sister and then doing that dance with new best friend.
It was
two women
dancing, one of whom looked like one of the sisters from Frozen. And it was all about lifting each other.
Yeah.
And it was all about partnership and friendship and the relationship between them, especially when they're sitting talking to Claudia afterwards. It's clearly they really like each other.
They get on like a house
and
on
what
fire,
a thing for certainly for young girls to watch and go, oh my God, two best friends dancing.
Yeah.
It's the most beautiful thing.
It is totally gorgeous. Craig gave him a very stingy, I thought, 7.
Yes.
And all the other judges, 8. And again, she's sort of upper middle, solid of the leaderboard kind of fodder. She's doing, but she stands out, I think, just because of the way she's partnered and partnering. She's more memorable. She's got that as an advantage because you're not watching just like a pretty woman do a nice dance with a man in a suit. Like those images, those shapes that they make kind of stay in your mind.
She's memorable. And the other thing,
which will help, I think.
She's selling the superfan thing really well. She's got an emotional connection to almost anything that could happen in Strictly.
Totally.
Which is great that Tyler did this later on. Bring your families in.
Yeah.
Say what Strictly means to you. Because that's the people on the sofa.
Yeah.
We all have this relationship with Strictly. We've watched it with our mums and our kids and things like that.
These
stories are actually the stories of everyone watching Strictly, which is making it even more lovely this
year.
It's
a way of connecting, isn't it? And it's just beautiful. So next we have my, not shock of the night, because obviously we knew Molly was going to be amazing and Carlos is amazing. But this dance, I've had my... You know, that kind of cartoon moment where you sort of rub your eyes and take another look at something that you've been staring at for ages and suddenly you can see it. I thought her cha-cha was dynamite, like absolute dynamite, in a field of ridiculously strong dancers. And this took them straight to the top of the leaderboard, but not for long. Mm. It was the choreography, her performance, the music, everything. I absolutely just all out loved it.
If you're talking about a journey, the journey from... her being someone I went, oh, there's another special kid, to me rooting for these two every week.
She has arrived.
Yeah,
I think
this is one of my favourite moments of the night. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
And
it's just, I mean, they're getting to be charming, these two as well.
They're not
just good at it. He knows he can push her further. She's obviously very capable. She's young. She's got loads of energy.
She's
a trained performer. She's fresh out of stage school, kind of.
Yeah.
So he's got really great stuff to work with. But stuff like where he was training her with all those Foley noises in
the training room,
and he went like an Edgar Wright movie. And thinking, I get who you are now.
Yeah.
And your little action, they're little action heroes. And their sort of superhero-ness I thought was really charming.
So good.
I'm really warming to these two. too. I think he feels like he's been there forever.
Yeah, he's really, really bedded in, hasn't he?
Which is lovely. And I think she is just completely wonderful. And every week as well, she comes out, they're doing things with her hair and with Fleur's hair.
Yeah.
That they turn up every week and I don't know who they are. They're doing brilliant things with their looks, their hair and makeup. So every week you go, oh, different side of them. And I'm loving it. If you're talking about Matt being the same costume every time,
yeah.
Fleur and Molly are coming
they're
out
never
as different
the same thing twice.
Forms of themselves.
But this look, is there's something about some of them, the one that I'm really proud of them, they didn't say because she's a woman of any colour at all.
Yeah.
Who is slightly dressed as a flapper, they managed to stop Anton saying she looked like Josephine Baker, which is a huge, huge boon. And well done to everyone for stopping that happening. And maybe just jumping on him as he was about to say it and pushing him off the stage.
Stuffed his NTA award in his mouth.
Shirley said it was one of the best Char-Chars she'd seen, pretty much full stop, on the show. Anton said it was clean. He loved it. Bam! He made lots of noises. In fact, I think he did the whole routine in noises at one point. And then Craig was kind of going round the houses saying, it was 30s, it was 50s, you were Sid Charisse, I wasn't sure of this change in style. It's like, get on with it. And he just said he loved it, it was refreshing. I don't know the dances anywhere near as well as those guys, but I just thought I hadn't seen anything like it either before.
No.
The shape she was making, that one where you've kind of got your arms stretched up above your head and then you kind of do like little claw hands, but somehow you're leaning back, but the rest of your body's jutting forward. Like she made gorgeous shapes.
Yeah.
And actually I thought he wildly undermarked her with an 8. Everyone else gave her a 9.
Yeah, that would have been more appropriate, I think. It was a classic Craig thing. Craig does this sometimes where he really likes something, but in order to do his Craig bit, will say, I wasn't sure what it was. It was a combination. It wasn't traditional.
You like it?
And then he'll say, even though it wasn't traditional, I like what you've done with it. And you're thinking, that's Craig's. It's a standard Craig judging format.
Yeah.
To go, I wasn't sure whether it was a so-and-so or a so-and-so, but I loved it. And he went,
yeah.
Oh, actually, can you just say that was brilliant? Because it was just brilliant.
Although there was a brilliant Craig moment we'll talk about later when we get to that dance, where he judged comic timing and just everything, and the week and the emotion in the room, he judged it absolutely perfectly.
We're giving Craig generally high marks.
So next, there was I briefly have to mention, because it delighted me so much. There's a brief, you know, throw forward to coming up later. Kim's going to be doing, and she's doing that, obviously, routine in the aeroplane. And then Claudia continues her campaign of quiet sexual harassment of Dave Arch by saying that she hoped that meant that they could join the Mile High Club together. If you reverse the genders here, it would be absolutely appalling. And that, like the BBC of the 1970s, just simply not good. But as it's Claudia, I'm all for
it's
it.
It's fine.
Delightful. And I totally see what she's talking about. So move on to James and Amy next, who I feel like there are some, I don't want to call them floaters, but it's the best word I can think of. And Kim Marsh definitely comes under this, which I guess is why she ended up in the dance-off. But there are contestants now who are really good, but sort of a bit wallpaper compared to the extremely attention-grabbing other people that they're dancing alongside or competing against. So I feel like James is sort of at the moment one of those.
Yes.
Like, I like him, but, you know, I'm a red-blooded woman and I just look at him and go, oh, yeah, fine, whatever.
Yeah, he comes over as sort of like the a spare Will Meller.
It's really unfair.
Because I really like him. Every time he's in his training montages and things, I think he's really lovely. I actually like watching him dance. The thing he's got, which I think he's got in common with Matt, which is terrible for Matt, and with Helen Skelton, is a slight lack of confidence.
Yeah.
Which I find way more charming than Will Meller's enormous confidence.
Yeah.
I like his slight lack of confidence because I can see him fighting the part of him that goes, I'm a market trader in EastEnders, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And I find that lovely because obviously Amy's all smiles and I see him.
You can see the nerves slightly.
Yeah, I like seeing, certainly at this stage in the competition, I like seeing people who are reminding you that a few weeks ago these people couldn't dance.
Yeah, true enough.
And I like that about him.
Yeah.
I find him really fun to watch. But that timidity means sometimes it's a little bit clumpy.
Yeah, I think so. And they did a quick step, which obviously notoriously fast, very, very, very difficult to Don't Get Me Wrong, which I feel like someone's done every series, but probably has only maybe done once before.
It's just memorable enough that you think it's all the time.
But I think if memory serves, like a really good male dancer has done this to this song before.
Right.
So probably unfair comparisons are going on in some superfans' heads. But obviously, they wheeled out his cute little kids in training and you did take a drink because he said, how many do I get, kids? They were like, 10, daddy.
Yay.
Like, take a drink. House. Bingo. He was wearing this sort of like luxe purple suit and she was kind of in lavender. They looked beautiful together. And technically, the judges were really impressed. Shirley said she could see him fighting with every step to stay in the competition. His vertical spine was on point. They talked to him about his posture, and that was great. Anton loved the footwork, said more. Craig said it should be, because it's a quick step, you're covering ground. Said, you know, it's almost like those gymnastic routines on the floor where they start in one corner and they go all the way to the very, very other one. He said he didn't cover quite enough ground and you could just push it a bit more. But he said it was his best dance. And Motsy said she always smiles when she's watching him. All eights across the board, which I think is 10 points up on last week.
Yeah.
Someone said, which is quite a big jump. So clearly, even though I'm like, no, I don't remember it, it was a very good week for him. But I just worry that he might be the spare Will Meller and get
I think that's the fatal position.
Trampled underfoot.
To be, he's decent and I like watching him.
Yeah.
And that might not be enough to get you all the way there, which is a shame because I like the competition with him in. I'm always happy to see him turn up.
Oh, lovely. So now on to, if Blimmin, what's her face, Nova Jones hadn't done the insane routine that she'd done, this would have been my equal first best dance of the night with Hamza, who obviously we haven't come to yet. Fleur and Vito did the first, my favourite dance, Argentine Tango of the series to Paint It Black and just set the place on fire.
I wrote two words, and I've done long notes for everything else, and I've just written, fucking hell.
I think it's ooh, Betty.
Yeah, the same, very much the same, ooh, Betty would have done as well. No, I genuinely, I couldn't write anything because it was so good.
And
I loved this so much.
And the journey of it.
The journey.
Thank you. Was all the more satisfying for the absolute travesty of being in the dance-off last week. And to come back and be human lava was just something else.
Scorching. It was the biggest fuck you.
It was amazing.
I am brilliant at this. And she knew who she was.
Yeah.
And she was fierce. And I think the other thing that was lovely about this, which is another thing that happens in Strictly, is you watch the training montage and you see how they're putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, all right, she looks pretty good. And then with the staging, the lights, the costume,
so
and the excitement of the night, it's a completely different beast.
Totally.
All
different.
That technical stuff was completely forgotten. And there's something, they've done this before a couple of times where they use a lot of red light.
Yeah.
And I love it. Well, it looks like craft work. And
always
it's just
for like tangos and
passos. Yeah, but it's red light. And for some reason as well, and I know this is impossible, black light. It looks like they're shining black onto the... And it's just, with the right dancer, the right dancers who can come up to that dramatic staging, the gothicness, the bat out of hellness of it is absolutely brilliant. It's electric. I love this so much. This was my dance of the night by miles.
Oh, yeah, me too. And the judges agreed. My favourite thing of all time is the ganchos, the way your legs are kind of kicking in between the other. And there was so much. I mean, I love the choreography.
They're going to bark their shins, aren't they? They're going to bark their shins.
Oh, my God, I loved it so much. So I wrote down amazing legs because I'm obviously, you know, technically really looking for amazing legs. Craig said that is the dance to beat and kind of her jaw was on the floor. Yeah. Motsy said, wow, about five or six times and her chair fell over.
I love that.
And then it broke and then Craig had to try and fix it.
I love it when you see the other side of BBC props where,
so
where
good.
There's like gaffer tape and bits of pin.
It's really shit.
I love it.
So good.
It's like we once went underneath the desk at Blue Peter.
Oh,
we went
yes,
to visit the set of Blue Peter. And the desk where they're doing the makes, if you go underneath it, it's just loads of glue and stuff.
It's a right old mess.
It's horrible.
It?
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant. It's like a garage. It's fantastic.
Never look behind the curtain. Destroys the magic. Motsy said, went on to say when her chair was being fixed that it was powerful and controlled and amazing. Shirley said it was there was sensuality beyond, because she doesn't speak in normal sentences. Anton just said it was so
English is
brilliant.
Her first language and Motsy's second. Let's forget.
Sometimes she just loses her way slightly linguistically. Anton also equally impressed. It was 2 9s and 2 10s. So Craig and Shirley gave 9s and Motsy and Anton gave 10s straight to the top of the leaderboard. I would have absolutely... In fact, our child did get out our old Strictly paddles that we made and we both gave them a 10.
It's an important ritual.
Brilliant.
Again, let's refer to this. One of the reasons that Strictly is brilliant is very often you have been watching it with your family since they were a baby. And we've had these Strictly paddles since our kid was a baby and they come out because it's a ritual every year.
Yeah, they went off it for a few years and now they're in their teens. It's like, I actually quite like it.
But that's what you're watching. You're watching a thing that happens every year that gives you comfort and joy and it's lovely.
Oh, so nice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, now we move on to Kim and Graziano, who did, I thought, a very proficient, proficient's a terribly damning word, isn't it? A very proficient samba to volare.
It got you from A to B, didn't it?
By the Gypsy Kings. Did I ever tell you my Gypsy Kings story?
Go on, Gypsy Kings story.
Once I was in Piccadilly Circus when Tower Records was still a thing. Yeah. And I just came out of the tube and there were these men wandering around, literally just with like guitars around their necks, looking lost. Loads of them, absolutely bloody loads of them. And one of them just sort of looked at me and I think just saw that I wasn't going to do the London thing of like not making eye contact. And I just sort of looked at him and he said, where is Tower Records? And I was like, oh, it's over there. And on the back of his T-shirt as he turned around, the Gypsy Kings. They were all the Gypsy Kings looking for Tower Records. It's just a lovely story. Anyway, so this is the big CGI...
CGI
smackdown of the night.
CGI jet. I've written, and what did we say last week? Don't put the CGI in the way of
in
the people.
In front of the dancing. I mean, luckily she was just sitting in a plane seat holding a cocktail.
Yeah.
And they got the plane out of the way really quickly, but it did piss me off.
It's in the way.
That I couldn't even see where she was. I know it's clever and you can do it. It doesn't mean say you should do it.
Yes, let's do the full Jeff Goldblum Jurassic Park thing.
Yeah.
Think if you should rather than that you could.
Exactly. And for a samba, you know, that they were talking about the style of samba and that she was showing different styles of samba, not just the bouncer, bouncer, bouncer thing that they always say they're looking for more bounce, more hip bounce. It was an elegant samba. Like she comported herself with a great deal of elegance, which I sort of wasn't expecting. And I thought they'd say, oh, that was too polite or too placed. Yeah. But actually, it was just apparently a different technical style. I think she did a really, really good job. They admired her technique. They said the level was so high tonight and she was right up there. Craig said something about her arms being slightly wrongly placed. But apart from that, you know, she is not doing badly at all. But again, I worry getting slightly lost in the vast field of stampeding talent, you know.
I think the thing about her is I realised, and I really, again, another one of those dance I really like, and I'm never feeling any clench about.
Yeah, no clenching.
And she's got a reasonable journey, as in she's sort of said, I wasn't very good at this. And
she's a time-travelling grandmother.
Yeah, she's got all the things that are against her, because obviously time travel will give her radiation sickness. she's a poor thing. She's probably iller even than Will. Yeah. But she's... I think the phrase would be, I take her for granted.
That's it. That's what I wanted to say about James as well.
Yeah.
That I these are the ones I'm taking for granted.
Oh,
and I shouldn't
good.
Because they won't get the votes and then they'll just be gone.
What you're forgetting then is the thing that you should remember all the time with Strictly and is really evident in someone like, say, Tony Adams, where you should see how hard they're working.
Right.
And oddly, even though it's quite uncomfortable when you see how hard Matt's working, you should see that this isn't easy for them.
There should be glimpses of the effort. It shouldn't be just effort.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't want them to actually, don't want close-ups of veins popping and some sweat and people, a tiny trickle of blood out of the nose. I don't want to see that. But when people like Kim and James do quite difficult dances quite effortlessly, I think I start going, oh, of course they can do that. And
I know.
You have to
I
keep remembering, of course they can't.
You are so right. That's something I have to remember for next time. Next week, don't take them for granted. Okay, good. Craig gave them a 7. Motsi and Shirley gave 8s. And Anton a 9. I think he was most enamoured. because his prejudice against the samba is such that he is impressed when anyone can make it look that good. Yeah. So
it was a great dance.
It was an extremely good performance, which is why what happens later is devastating for her, because that wasn't a dance-off qualifying dance.
Not at all.
By any means.
Well, I mean, we're at quite a cruel stage, I think, here.
Oh,
the quality
so
is really, really good. And some of the people whose quality isn't so good are still really entertaining and I don't want to lose them. So there's a cruel guillotine that falls on some people who are just impressive and that's enough.
They cut their heads off.
Yeah, that's why the stakes are so high.
Holy shit. Okay, next we move on to Tony and Katja, who did an American smooth to You Sexy Thing from the Full Monty. No, they didn't. You can't do it every weekend, no matter how much you'd like to. They did an American smooth to With a Little Help from Our Friends.
Aww.
And it was very sweet. It was a lovely sentiment behind it. He was visited in training by, I think, a goalkeeper and somebody else.
David Simon with the moustache without the moustache.
That's him. Like, he should put the facial furniture back because I couldn't recognise him.
And then another man.
And he was talking, perhaps not so much in the training thing, but certainly afterwards, he was talking about his horrible time with addiction,
how
he feels like he came pretty close to not being here anymore, that some people pulled him back from the edge. And so it was weighted with a lot of emotion.
That all felt very, very genuine. And it was another really likable feather in his cap, I think.
Yeah.
The way he's talking about this stuff, I'm really warming to him. I'm glad he didn't get knocked out really early on. Everyone
was
sort of
too.
Saying, week one, well, he'll go. He'll be the...
I was one of those people.
He's the Widdicombe, isn't he? He's going to go. But, or not even
no,
Widdicombe
he's
lasted.
Not. Okay, I don't think he hates gay people that much.
I don't mean that. I mean, like the person who will clomp about for our amusement for a couple of weeks and then go.
I know.
This was, I thought, really brave because he, again, Katja, amazing choreographer, knows exactly what to do with these kind of performers. He had nowhere to hide. And I thought that he's been hiding behind sort of antic, gooning, he's a gooner, messing about. But I thought it was lovely. It was a genuinely nice dance. And I believed his story. I believed his journey.
It was a nice dance. But can I just say that the lifts
absolutely
fucking terrified me. I did not feel like he was definitely not going to drop her.
No, they were kind of like the lifts in the Towering Inferno. You thought they might kill people on the way down. I've made a note here that one of his lifts left Katja crawling across the floor like Sadako from The Ring coming out of the television.
Yeah, with the hair kind of dragging along
the floor.
Yeah,
so they were quite horrifying lifts. But
a little bit scary.
Yeah, I wrote he did some lifts on my notes.
I wrote down squeaky bum, squeaky bum. That's how I clearly felt. So Shirley, the judges were all pretty much, you know, encouraging. Shirley said he had his serious hat on this week. It was a good effort. Anton said, look at you from week one to now. It's staggering. And you did a beautiful fleckle. So well done.
Yay, fleckle.
Motsy said, well done. And Craig, this was his moment of the night. Craig, they just came to Craig and he leaned into the microphone and went, better. And the studio went nuts. It was so well judged when no more need be said. Mwah, exquisite.
He was sort of channeling sort of J.K. Simmons, IMA, dragging kind of. He's like the harsh tutor
in
the movie.
Yeah.
And again, that's exactly what you need.
You've
for
got
this.
To have one.
It was beautifully done.
He did it. And I think in the ensuing chaos after Craig's expulsion, I didn't hear it, but they apologised for swearing. And I think Tony must have just gone, knackers or something like that.
Boobs!
Holy tits! He was delighted. He said afterwards, I'm sorry, I was just so excited, Claudia.
Bumholes!
Which can only be just adding to his charm at this stage.
It was the whole little package there with him coming off stage, having got a better of things.
Gosh.
There was a lovely, just the whole wave of emotion was lovely. Again, fitted. The theme of this whole episode was feelings.
Oh my God, so
huge.
Many bloody feelings.
I cried, I think, five times.
I didn't count because, you know, I'm a woman and I'm not keeping like a ledger. Obviously, I harvested my tears for use at a later date in witches' potions because I'm a woman.
My has to go in the book for men, the book of shame.
But how many times were you weak this week? Okay, so Craig gave Tony after that a 5, which, you know, feels for Craig, and he's been giving some really low marks to Tony, and everyone else 7s, I think, just because of the party atmosphere that had ensued.
It did feel,
after that,
honest, it felt 7-y. It wasn't 7 for skill, but it was a 7-y performance.
And he didn't kill Katja, so an extra point for that. Okay, now I think, I mean, no one could argue. I saw Hamza's name trending the next morning, this morning. I don't think anyone could argue that this wasn't the dance of the night. I think it was just astonishing. So Hamza and Juita did a salsa to Ecuador. I believe that's how it's sung. And it was just, I expected him to be good because I've seen him do Latin now and really, really enjoyed it. Again, zero clenching, loads of fun. He's really good at just being like gently, delightfully party and kind of, I'm now talking like Shirley, like I can't do sentences.
Do you know
who
he is?
Who?
He's Magnitude from Community.
He is pop, pop.
He basically is a one-man party.
Honestly, I'm starting to see him as just that.
Luke Youngblood. I'm going to give him his name. He's very good.
Absolutely. He was in Harry Potter as well. Anyway, we are the Luke Youngblood fan club. Thank you very much. So he does this dance. I mean, to say that as a sentence is really kind of somewhat...
He done a dance.
Somewhat underselling the ridiculously skillful, brilliant display. I love afterwards, Motsie said, even your hair was like in salsa time, like for the whole fucking thing. Absolutely astonishing. A series of lifts that started off pretty impressive and then just kept getting more and more and more until he gets Jovita... throws her up above his head like in a kind of shoulder press.
Yeah.
So like just literally she's the kind of bar.
Deadlifting her.
Yeah. Although I looked it up, you know, and apparently deadlift is just picking something up from the floor.
Ooh.
It's not holding it above your head. That's a shoulder press.
Thank you.
Just in case you wanted to use the correct terminology, which I know you do. So he's holding her up there and then kind of does the thing where he kind of like whittles her around, then catches her in his arms like in a cradled sort of position.
He didn't drop her on the floor like Tony or anything.
But at no point did I even think he was going to. He looked like he'd been doing that all his flaming life, like with, I don't know, heavy wildlife. Just absolutely
elk.
Incredible. I mean, honestly, I
that's what he's doing
past him.
Up in the wilds. He's just tossing elk about.
So incredible.
One of the things that his magic superpower, which I wrote down, I was trying to work this out, go, what is it? And I think it's that if you're a really good kids TV presenter, do a lot of work with kids, which I think his background is one of the things you have to be is unselfconscious.
Yeah.
They're used to not worrying.
Yeah.
Because that's kids. If kids sense worry in you, then the kids don't enjoy themselves.
Yes.
So he has this thing of...
And animals too show no fear.
Exactly.
They can smell it.
People keep saying that his big thing is he's humble. And well, humble people are often quite nervous.
Yeah.
But he is enormously confident and humble.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a magic combination. I think
it is magic.
It comes because of where he comes from. And being humble and massively confident in your abilities is what Floella Benjamin is, or Johnny Bull was, whatever.
Yeah,
it's just that magic thing, all those children's presenters we grew up with, or Chris Packham, that lovely combination of it doesn't matter who you are, just to go, well, I'm me.
I noticed you didn't put Jeremy Irons in that list.
Jeremy Irons from Playaway? No, he's more of an arsehole.
Tell the story about Jeremy Irons, my favourite ever story.
I can't do it justice. There was a journalist who was interviewing Meryl Streep and asking sort of various questions and thought, oh, I'll risk asking the question that you always think is a bit awkward asking a celebrity. Is there anyone you ever have been cast with who you didn't enjoy playing opposite? And she's leaning in and went, Jeremy Irons, Jeremy. Make sure you spell it right. And it's just, so that's Jeremy
Irons. If Meryl
Irons.
Doesn't like you, you're screwed.
Anyway, that's
you?
Jeremy. It's not Jeremy Irons, but he's far more like Bernard Cribbins.
I know.
Or any of those great children's presenters.
Oh,
I love
in the tradition
that.
Of, for sure. So the judges were, Shirley and Motsie were on their feet. It was the longest in-studio ovation I've seen ever on
Strictly. It's still going on, I think.
They're still there now. They're tired. They're dehydrated, but they cannot stop
hands
clapping.
Hands are bleeding.
Yeah, just completely worthy of it. I've never seen quite such a nuts reaction to a dance. He was just dynamite. Anton was gobsmacked, said it was an incredible routine. Craig said, has everyone been taking magic dance pills this week? That was amazing.
I like magic dance pills. I wonder what he could mean. A magic dance pill that makes you happy. Ooh,
magical dance.
What an idea.
So they were spiking them this week then. That's good. And they just all really loved each other.
Yeah.
And Shirley said, perfecto. But I think she said it in three like stages, like she was trying to do a Craigism, which our child did not like very much. Mm. You can't just steal Craig's thing.
Yeah,
perfecto. So obviously, old Grumpy Chops gave a 9. Everyone else 10s. It was unequivocal. There was nothing wrong with it. You couldn't fault it. And it took them straight to the top of the leaderboard where they stayed. Amen. And then in the post-match thing with Claudia, Jovita just happened to mention that he'd been ill this week too and hadn't made a bloody fuss of it like bloody Will Meller. Thank you very much.
Let's talk about icons of masculinity and say it's Hamza all the way.
Oh, yeah. And Jovita said, you're my king. And I just thought, he's everyone's king. And next, Helen and Gorka. Now, I was really, really looking forward to this one because ideally, if you remember way back in the beginning of this, I told you her narrative was going to be a bit sort of like a church mouse, underconfident, been terribly through the walls emotionally. I didn't realise till after the show, but when Gorka was talking, I think it was a bit of an FU to her ex-husband.
Oh, right.
Apparently he's now announced his new young girlfriend is pregnant, so it's been a terrible week for Helen.
Yeah.
Really bloody awful. So she's been kind of in the walls emotionally, and I think Gorka made kind of reference to that after their dance. But I told you originally their narrative should have been, was going to be, when she gets like the big fuck you dance, which is the Paso Doble, that's the dance. Mm. It's the, but maybe it was too soon after some bad news this week. That's when she comes out fierce and sort of flowers into this fiery force of nature. But she didn't quite do it. They were still saying to her this week, come on, come on.
Yeah.
You need to believe that you can do this because your body can do it, but you're not, the attitude isn't behind it. And I think I just put that down to it must have been a really bloody awful week for her. And she was just struggling to find the confidence when she had another blow this week.
I really, really enjoyed watching this dance. I enjoy her.
I liked the dance. I don't want to damn it with faint praise.
There's never been a week I haven't looked forward to what Helen and Hill could do. I think they're really lovely to watch. I thought she looked great. I thought, as in terms of her attitude and things, and her dance skill seemed to be really, really good.
Yeah.
They're right. There's something mentally blocking her because nothing else was in the way.
No, no. She's in her own way. That's the problem.
But the character work, I thought, was really good. I believed
in her. I think the character work was good. But if she could have channeled the rage she must undoubtedly be feeling at the moment with what's been going on in public, it's awful.
Is she too nice?
If she could channel the rage, if someone could unlock that in her and say, this dance... that's your ex-husband.
Because
fucking go for him. She probably ended up killing him.
This one was heading towards a bit where, let's say, she was walking on a box.
Yeah.
Stamping on a box.
She was stamping on a box.
That was the bit where I went, oh, you're not stamping very hard.
No.
I want to see her go through the box like Rumpelstiltskin.
No,
I want to see her smash the box up.
Genuinely, I think it might have been because it was just a bit too raw. If she gave way to how angry she must be feeling, then that she wouldn't be able to.
This is so feelings week, isn't it?
Because
it's about feelings being held in as well as feelings being let go.
You're not wrong. God, you've done loads of therapy, haven't you?
Loads of. I'm special at feelings.
Anyway, the judges were sort of mostly optimistic, but a bit mixed. Craig gave her a very low 6, which I thought wasn't really right. Motsy and Anton 8s and Shirley 7.
Yeah.
But I think the general feeling was, look, you can do this. Believe in yourself. Your timing is great. The styling is great. It's clean. It's crisp. But this is the dance where you're having a row with your lover, and you are a Latin, hot-blooded, angry, vengeful woman, and you're going to go for him. And she was just too polite.
I am a furious Blue Peter presenter.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what's holding her back.
Too nice. She's too nice. Okay, now we move on to Ellie and Johannes. There's always one they dress up in a funny costume. This week it was Ellie. Don't know what she'd done to deserve that. So Viennese waltz, traditionally you get the chiffon, you get the big earrings, you get an updo. It's lovely.
She got the outfit from a Charleston, didn't she?
She got.
It was really
completely
weird. Dressed as a crab.
So she was doing, although I think as she said afterwards, she was like dressed as Little Bo Peep dancing to Lulu, like camp achieved.
Yeah.
Like she definitely hit that height. But it was a technically, I think, pretty good Viennese waltz. They were talking about her heel leads. There was a lot of mucking around with sheep and things that I felt was quite distracting.
Some of the sheep were CGI.
Yeah, CGI
CGI sheep.
Again,
from the same package you get the crocodiles in.
Not
I
needed. I know what there is. There's a budget and they have to spend it. And it's like they had the plane and they were like, oh shit, we haven't done any CGI.
Yeah.
Sheep? Yeah, fuck it. Give us some sheep. She didn't need the sheep. But I thought she got a lovely character to the dance. It was really sort of kooky and fun.
It suited
and
her.
And she kind of made it work. And in a silly costume, never for a moment could you detect her going, oh, why am I in the stupid costume? Like, she just went for it.
No, it's a good
personality,
a good dance for a comedian to do. I thought it was a bit unfair in that at some point, because she's developing more elegance and things.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, oh, no, you've just spent the Viennese waltz token.
I know.
Which I thought was waiting down the line for her when she finally masters...
It would have been a real swan moment,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
When she finally masters her limbs and things. But they've gone, no, we'll do a funny one. And actually, the what they got in return for that, I think, was one of the nicest VT packages with Johannes and her.
Yeah.
And last week I said, oh, I'm really missing...
You're getting a sense of their friendship now.
Yeah. Last week I said I was missing the ferocious love there was between John and JoJo.
I know.
And you went, so what are you going to get? And this time around they've gone, it's warm, they're friends, they obviously make each other laugh.
Yeah.
Him in high heels on a farm was a beautiful look. Her enjoying that. They look like best mates having a laugh.
Yeah, it was
I
good, wasn't it? You're right.
Lot.
That was missing. They needed that.
So it's really helped.
Definitely. They did say technically she was good. Heel leads good. Good frame, said Shirley. Motsy says she's definitely elevated her game because everyone has and she's definitely coming up to meet them. Anton said lovely stuff in not so many words, or rather more words. And Craig said she looked more confident and hold and the dance really suited her. So, I think it was, again, a good, solid performance. I actually thought that she might be one of the women mid-table who could be in trouble this week. But I think her personality is so winning that people remember her and people do vote for her.
She is absolutely, and this is an important thing, she is acing the post-match interview with Claudia.
Oh, God, yeah, she's so funny.
There are people who are acing it. I think Tony Adams is acing the
post-match
interview.
Oh, my God,
interviews.
He's a master at
it. And you go, this is good. Weirdly, the post-match interview, he's really good at it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for nailing it in people's minds.
Definitely. So Craig gave a 7, Shirley gave a 7, and the other two gave 8s. It is her highest score yet. I think she got 30 this week. So, you know, she's going in the right direction, slow and steady. I hope she gets to keep going for a bit longer because, I think now Matt Goss has gone.
Yeah.
It's only going to be Puppies I Love that get gassed now. And that's not, I'm not looking forward to it. Okay, so finishing the show, as predicted, Tyler and Diane with their couple's choice. This was always going to be one that they basically had huge confidence in being a bit of a showstopper because, you know, he's now proven he's one of the best dancers in that room. And if he's, and you know, he's a DJ on Kiss FM, I'm guessing, you know, although this music is old compared to him. Like, how old was he when UK Garage was a thing? It was like the beginning of the 2000s, right?
It was like him doing Al Boley or something. a Vera Lynn megamix. Yeah, it's great.
Brilliant. The ink spots.
the Dave Clark Five.
So it was an amazing, our kid was extremely embarrassed as I joined in with any of the UK Garage hits that I remember from the early days of UK Garage there. Something about selectors. Yeah. And I bring you flowers in the pouring rain. You see, I'm very down with
This is what the nursing homes are going to be like, isn't it?
Yes, it's so horrible.
Geico with a Casio tone playing stuff.
As Shirley put it, the mega mix in the garage, which I'm sure she did it on purpose to try and sound even older than she actually is. But honestly, stop saying it. She said it more than once. I think she found it very funny.
CGI mixing desk.
Oh, yeah.
CGI watch, I'm here for that.
No, but they were on actual turntables.
Yeah, but it was extended into... It was good. It was lovely. I like all that stuff.
Good use of CGI. We should always praise them when they've done well.
Yeah, so I think this was good and it suited the era. It was the right era.
It didn't look like the jazz age.
Looked like a cover of maybe some kind of garage, mega mix in the garage.
Garage.
And it's good. And I do hope that all the deep patois, for the rapping and the emceeing, the toasting, that was Dave Arch. I think it'd be problematic.
It was amazing. They can do bloody anything. So impressive. Obviously, to add to Feelings Week this week, as we're dubbing it, there was a really nice little package with his mum and him talking about how just his mum brought him and his siblings up and did an incredible job. And
what a nice family they seem.
They seem like a lovely bunch of dudes. Really, really lovely. And again, like you said before, mentioning families, bringing us all into our living rooms. Like, it's almost a Gogglebox thing.
Yes, it was. It was a lovely Gogglebox package.
But it was effective, and I think it did a good job of just giving him another dimension. Dave Arch was in a bucket hat. That was, I don't know what that was about, because I don't remember people in the UK garage team wearing them, but maybe that's a thing I missed.
Maybe one of the guys down his garage wears a bucket hat and he just got the wrong message.
No, I think
guy
I
fixed
just,
his car.
I think I just missed that fashion memo. So yeah, Shirley called it the mega mix in the garage, but said, great, well done. Anton said he's absolutely the guy who should be judging this kind of dance, which everyone laughed at a lot. Anton. And he enjoyed them dancing on the decks. Yes, I do know the word. It's decks. That was impressive. Motsi said it was the cherry on the icing on the cake when she finally got around that analogy. And Craig actually was the only one who had any criticism and said that actually, because it was that kind of, Diane's often choreographing this kind of couple's choice dance where the arms are doing very staccato movements. Yeah. And, you know, because he's not a pro dancer, he was getting all the footwork right and the acrobatics and the muscular stuff, but his arms weren't crisp enough in unison with hers. Exactly. So Craig slightly pulled him up on that and said that the whole thing wasn't as earth as it could be.
Yeah.
You talk about street dance and sort of like dancing down into the floor, and he wasn't quite doing that.
Not again, another nice bit of technical stuff. I love it when they explain what they're disappointed in and it makes sense to you and you suddenly realise what you should be watching for.
Exactly. So they got 2 10s from Shirley and Anton, and then an 8 from Craig and 9 from Motsi. But a really good way to end the show. I think you know when you're last on, you know, and you're doing something that they already assumed he was going to be great at, and they were right. He was really, really good, and it was very entertaining. My mum would have hated it. No ball gowns in sight, no tuxedos. Love it.
Amazing to end on a dance that big, and then still, when you thought back on it, went, there's probably 3 other dances that I enjoyed as much as that, that would have been the winner any other week.
Oh my God, yes, totally.
Really high standard.
So we ended up with, I think, Hamza topping the whole thing. He only missed 1 point. He was on 39. And then way down at the bottom, unfortunately, was Matt. And after the viewer vote, Kim. So, the dance-off, I was obviously, I think it was a sort of a foregone conclusion. All judges did say... Yeah. Kim and Graziano, they couldn't not really. But in the dance-off, Matt, I mean, almost kind of went slightly mad. And he was so like, I will try till my dying breath, which obviously made me feel really bad for him.
He'll probably be back next week.
They probably like Boris Johnson. Yeah. Like he's coming back.
They'll keep catching him in the background of shots, dancing in the background relentlessly.
But he had a good run. But, Oh, my God, If last night showed us anything, it's that this was a ridiculously strong field now.
Mad.
From here on in, anyone's guess who's going to go. It becomes then the dreaded popularity contest where they all seem to really like each other. They all seem to get on. They all seem like nice people. So now I'm going to start, because this is what I do, because I'm a dreadful person, I'm going to start looking for things that are wrong with their personalities and reasons to hate them. That's the only way I can get through the next few weeks without being really sad all the time.
That's how it's done. They should have another paddle for personality. This is for dancing. This is because I think you probably beat people up secretly in alleyways. This is because you've got bad breath.
You steal money from charities. Yeah, I think so. Next week is the BBC's 100th anniversary, almost invisible celebrations, but they're allowing Strictly to do an extra themed week. So presumably, I mean, I haven't seen yet what they're doing, but I am assuming it's going to be theme tunes a go-go.
I'm imagining Captain Zepp Space Detective, First Class with Debbie Greenwood. It's going to be
First Class!
The adventure game. It's going to be all the best things.
So
going to be, Juliet Bravo.
Grange Hill.
No, it's not. It's going to be 11 people doing the Doctor Who theme in a row.
Oh.
But different Doctor Who themes, like the David Davidson one.
I hope they're getting the Radiophonic Workshop involved. Can you imagine?
That'd be sexy as hell. And the next person comes on, it's the same, but a different dance.
Everyone's dancing to Who? I would love that. Obviously, you can tell we'll be slightly overexcited as compared to this week, next week. I'm just overexcited the whole time.
Should we try and pay attention to some of the dances rather than just talking about the theme tunes? Because I'm mainly with the Aeneadin line.
It's going to be
great. You could have Lovejoy and All Creatures Great and Small and things. Brilliant.
I want Lovejoy. You know, the man who composed the Lovejoy theme tune, Dennis
King.
I want to say King.
Dennis King.
He follows me on Twitter.
What?
I know.
You never told me this.
Oh, didn't I?
We spent long weekends at home not thinking, what are we going to do with the weekend? Go and see Dennis King. Hang out. Bother him.
Let's make friends with him.
Make him whistle the tune.
I nearly walked down the aisle to the Lovejoy theme tune.
You did, didn't you?
And then you wouldn't let me.
No, because it spoiled the joke of what our actual first dance was.
Go on.
Which was, I Could Be So Good For You by Dennis Waterman.
Didn't actually get Dennis to sing it for us at the wedding, did we? No. We didn't need him to.
We learned a dance, though. It's the closest I've ever come to being on Strictly Come Dancing, was dancing
actually,
to the Minder theme.
We danced to it. Like, we properly did in hold and everything.
A little bit of choreography to the Minder theme. It's good.
Yeah.
And as my brother said at the time, I can't believe in the 80s that everyone didn't get married to that song. It's a perfect wedding song.
It is. It's completely brilliant. Yeah. And as it turned out, prophetic. You are good for me. Love you. Anyway, sorry, that's enough of the disgusting display. We will be back next week for probably the slightly too exciting TV themes themed BBC Week. In the meantime, come and find us at Cursor Strictly on Twitter if you have anything to say at all. And
what if they do the theme music to Find Us Keepers with Richard Stilgo? The Battleships game. Oh, God, it's going to be amazing.
No, Screen Test.
A Viennese waltz to that. It's impossible. Yeah.
Anyway, we will see you next week. But until then,
don't stop dancing.